This is the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. It is Tuesday, the 16th day of April, 2024. And if you haven't filed your income taxes by midnight last night, Joe Biden and his IRS thugs will be coming for you. They will impose new restrictive fees, very expensive fines and penalties against you, so you better get your act together. We got a lot to talk about today, and I want to talk about the Go Woke, Go Broke that's happening right now in New York. If any of you have ever gone hunting and used a Remington firearm, a Remington rifle, a shotgun, anything like that, you know that that weapon was made in liberal, Democrat-controlled New York. But that, an era has come to an end. The Remington Gun Manufacturing Factory, the nation's oldest gun manufacturer, is closing its doors in New York after over 200 years in business. But don't worry, you'll still be able to get an American-made Remington firearm in the United States of America because they've decided to move to Georgia. The decision will result in 300 job losses in the town of Ilion, New York, leading to a significant economic impact and the loss of that community's identity. For when you think of Remington for the last 200 plus years, you have to associate it with Ilion, New York. Oh well, go woke, go broke, New York. 208 years of history gone. Gone, says Ilion, New York Mayor John Stevens. Ilion is Remington. Remington is Ilion. Newsflash, Remington is Georgia, and Georgia is Remington. Retired Remington employee Jim Conover said, when Remington leaves, it's not going to be like a facility leaving, it's going to be like a part of your family has moved off. That's true. And sometimes family moves because they have better opportunities, lower taxation, less restriction, less liability for gun lawsuits, the ridiculous gun lawsuits that are popping up all over the Northeast. Guns do not kill people. Jealous husbands who come home do. That's what Larry the Cable Guy once said. The move by Remington is attributed to New York's massive restrictive gun laws. Company officials expressed excitement about relocating to a state that supports the Second Amendment and doesn't try to do away with it at every conceivable opportunity. The shift mirrors a trend of gun manufacturers moving from the Northeast to southern states. You might recall that last year, Smith & Wesson relocated from Massachusetts to Tennessee. Representative Elise Stefanik, a Republican, said, Governor Hochul must stop her unconstitutional assault on the Second Amendment now. Remington Arms CEO Ken Darcy said, we're very excited to come to Georgia, a state that not only welcomes business, but enthusiastically supports and welcomes companies in the firearms industry. Everyone involved in this process has shown how important business is to the state and how welcoming they are to all business, including the firearms industry. A win for Georgia, a loss for liberal progressive wokeness in New York. Oh, speaking of guns and a further attack upon your Second Amendment, and speaking of the Northeast, they're coming for your guns one way or another. One way or another, especially if Biden gets reelected, and if by some chance Democrats retake the House of Representatives and manage to hold on to the Senate in the 2024 election, they, the federal government, are coming for your guns. Not the guns of criminals. No. Your guns. You, law-abiding, non-criminal, non-felon gun owners. You are the ones that the Democratic Party fears. You are the ones that understand why we, the people, have the Second Amendment, why we have the lawful, legal, God-given, constitutionally affirmed right to keep and bear arms. We all know it's a statistical fact that a person with a stolen gun will be more than 100 times more likely to commit a crime using that illegally possessed gun than a law-abiding citizen who simply uses their gun for hunting, target practice, or self-protection. Yes, it is a statistical fact that more gun violence happens in so-called gun-free cities because criminals who have guns illegally know that you, the law-abiding citizen, want to obey the law and you simply don't have that gun to protect yourself. Yes, it's a known fact that when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. And as a side note, if guns are ever outlawed, I will be an outlaw because I will never willingly give up my guns. My God-given, constitutionally affirmed Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. But I digress. If the left cannot simply outlaw and ban guns, the Democrats will try and find ways to make gun ownership extremely difficult for law-abiding citizens. Barack Hussein Obama tried it, remember? He made ammunition so scarce and so expensive that people simply couldn't use their guns except for paperweights. Remember those long lines at the sporting goods stores and the gun stores? Those limits on supplies of ammunition? The empty shelves? Yeah, that didn't work, did it? Then the left tried to allow lawsuits against gun manufacturers, as if the gun is the thing that actually kills people. Newsflash, guns don't kill people. Husbands who come home early and find their wife effing around might kill people. They might use a baseball bat or a knife, but sometimes they do use a gun. Criminals use guns all the time. Overzealous local cops with ego trips, they use guns a lot too. But the gun? No. A gun has never killed any person. It just sits there. It's a tool. It's a device that aids in self-defense. Anyway. The left tried lawsuits against gun manufacturers, and yet people still have guns. And gun makers, like Remington and Smith & Wesson, still manufacture guns. Now, in the latest attempt by Democrats in the northeastern part of the United States to take away your Second Amendment right to defend yourself, a controversial gun plan proposed by Democrats in the Maryland House of Representatives is making its way through the legislative system. And it's making waves throughout the state of Maryland and indeed throughout the U.S. If this legislation passes, gun owners will now have to go out and buy private liability insurance to carry their firearms in public. That's right. Either concealed or open carry where allowed, gun advocates call the bill a concentrated attack on Maryland citizens' Second Amendment rights, and that would be correct. Gun control supporter nuts welcome this bill. Delegate Terry Hill, a Democrat from Howard County, introduced the legislation which states gun owners will need liability insurance policies with a $300,000 minimum coverage. The proposed legislation states, and I quote, "A person may not wear or carry a firearm unless the person has obtained and is covered by liability insurance with a $300,000 minimum. If you can't afford the hefty premiums to buy this joke insurance policy, you simply will not be able to legally possess a firearm in Maryland except inside your own home. The insurance policy must pay out for death, physical harm, or property damage caused by using or storing a gun. It must also cover interest charges and charges up to $300,000 for any damage caused by a gun." Terry Hill is a female Democrat who defended her bill, saying it's another effort at common sense gun legislation. Delegate Hill is a moron, an idiot, and of course, a Democrat. She was actually interviewed by Fox News, and she said the measure came from a constituent's idea that gun owners should be held accountable for the injuries caused by their weapons. The bill does provide exceptions, of course. Members of the military and federal law enforcement officers are somehow exempt, as well as she states, in cases where the gun wasn't loaded. Now, wait a minute. There's a crock of crap for you. So if you kill someone with an unloaded gun, it's okay? What the hell does that mean? It's not okay to shoot someone with a gun, but if you beat them to death with a rifle or a pistol, you get an exemption? If I'm going to beat someone down, it's not going to be with a pistol. It'll be a baseball bat. But that just proves how ignorant she really is. There was one shocking thing that I found in this bill. Local and state law enforcement officials are not excluded from requirements to carry this insurance. So the feds are exempt, but not Barney Fife? A critic of the bill, Delegate Ryan Naraki, a Republican from Baltimore County, expresses doubts about the bill, stating that it places an unconstitutional burden on citizens to own a firearm. That would be correct. While the bill is facing criticism for its obvious infringement on the Second Amendment rights of gun owners, criminal defense experts see an opportunity for more lawsuits and increased accountability, especially amongst law enforcement officers. Now, you know where this is headed, right? You knew it was coming, boys and girls. The race card is about to be played. The next paragraph in this article states, one defense attorney explained to Fox News Baltimore that the legislation, quote, aims to enhance accountability among police officers, particularly addressing the disproportionate impact of their misuse of deadly force on the black community, unquote. They have to. The left has to play the race card. They just can't stop themselves from playing the race card. He explained that the bill holds the power to render local cops uninsurable for repeated violations related to misuse of deadly force against African Americans. Now, it is unclear how processing of private insurance claims for firearm incidents might work. I have an idea of how it might work and how the entire process might go, having, of course, decades of experience in the insurance industry myself. I think that if someone shoots someone with their firearm in Maryland and they call to make a claim, it might go something like this.
Thank you for calling Allstate Farm Progress Insurance. If you have a homeowner's claim, press 1 for immediate service. If you have an automotive insurance claim, press 2 for immediate service. If you just pulled the trigger on your horrible firearm and hurt or killed someone, press 3 for firearm insurance claims. Thank you for making a claim for gun-related coverage. Your current wait time is 3 to 5 years, depending on Maryland State Court and Appeals Court rulings. Please sit back and enjoy the relaxing on-hold music while you wait. It is unclear how this processing of private insurance claims will work, but we here at Allstate Farm Progress Insurance value you as a customer. Thanks for paying the premium. Good luck in settling the claim.
It was I who shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot no deputy.
It's going to be strange because in Maryland, the majority of insurance policies exclude any coverage for actions that an insurer considers to be illegal or deliberate. Maryland already has the cowardice clause. It is illegal in Maryland to use lethal force when you have the option to flee an attack or leave a dangerous situation. The legal principle there is known as the duty to retreat. It's a bullshit requirement that when you are being attacked, you must first try and run away instead of defending yourself. It's similar to the law that allows someone to blame a girl wearing a bikini for being raped because she should have known better and worn more clothing. The government is supposed to follow the U.S. Constitution, which affirms your rights to free speech, religion, press, assembly, to keep and bear arms, amongst many others. And there is a notion that a person should not be unduly burdened by regulations that infringe upon those rights. This move by Maryland legislature is a revenge tactic because of last November's court ruling that struck down a law requiring handgun qualification licensing for any firearms purchases. Under that law, which was ruled unconstitutional, new gun owners were required to finish a firearm safety training course, submit their fingerprints, perform a lengthy background check, and fill out an application form for a handgun qualification license. The Maryland government could simply deny anyone's request for a number of reasons, many of which made no sense at all. The Fourth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals rightfully struck down that handgun qualification licensing regulation, saying it places an undue burden on citizens' constitutional rights. Congratulations. So Maryland decided to exact revenge by proposing this new burdensome law. I sincerely hope the people of Maryland call their representatives and strike down this attack on your Second Amendment constitutional rights. This is the Truth Hurts program. But it doesn't stop the Biden administration from announcing new gun restrictions. America is unique in the first world for many reasons, but none so divisive as the Second Amendment. The U.S. is the only developed nation in the world that enshrines the right to own a gun into their federal constitution, thank God. This fact has led to a deep divide between conservatives and wacky liberals over where the particular right to keep and bear arms ends and where the liberals try to constantly put more and more restrictions upon that right. The God-given, constitutionally affirmed right to protect ourselves from criminals and from a tyrannical government is the main reason that Japan and Germany didn't dare bring World War II to our shores. The right for you and for me to keep and bear arms is a fundamental right. It is not something the government gives to us. God himself gave it to us as an inalienable right. It is granted that human beings in America are free to protect themselves from robbers, home invaders, rapists, criminals, murderers, assaulters, batterers, attackers, and illegal immigrants, as well as an unhinged government. The U.S. Constitution confirms and affirms the God-given right. But Gropey Joe Biden thinks he's above the Constitution, and indeed, he believes he's above God. The man who claims to be a God-fearing Catholic Christian openly supports baby murder, so why not take away your constitutional rights? He claims to be a law enforcement president, yet he supports criminals and demonizes victims at every turn. There have been multiple attempts to implement gun control legislation in Congress, coming at issue from various angles. Bills have been introduced that would mandate red flag laws, ban so-called assault weapons, make background checks mandatory, and try to find reasons to keep everyone from keeping and bearing arms. At every turn, though, thank God, the Republicans have blocked these restrictive legislative moves, like they have righteously blocked many other woke, liberal, anti-American progressive laws. Much of the reasoning is stemmed from the rights that are granted by the Second Amendment, which states that the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. This is truth. There should be no restrictions on gun ownership for legal, lawful carriers. By weakening the Second Amendment, Democrats seek to dilute any power that citizens have in controlling the out-of-control central government and keeping criminals at bay. Thank God above, the Republicans have the power to keep those fascist Democrat notions at bay, at least for now. This is why it is so very important to keep Republicans in power. In the very liberal, biased article from which much of this segment will be based, I have tempered the stupidity with some common sense. I want to read to you the next two paragraphs in this article written by the author word for word. After I finish these two paragraphs, I will pepper them with some common sense. The article says, "The federal blockade against gun control legislation has largely delegated the responsibility of gun control legislation to the states. More liberal states have taken steps to create stricter gun restrictions within their states' borders, while the more conservative states have done everything in their power to reduce gun restrictions as much as humanly possible. That has created an uneven patchwork of laws from state to state regarding guns. In states like Texas," the article says, "there are essentially no restrictions on buying a gun or being able to carry one out in public, and Governor Greg Abbott has vowed to reduce restrictions even further." That's the way this article was written, as if that's a bad thing. Thank God the Republicans in Congress at the federal level, along with the U.S. Supreme Court, have kept these insane gun control laws from going into effect. These are states' rights issues, period. The Federalist Papers point this out. The paragraphs above seem to brag about liberal states enacting stricter gun laws, yet those are the states with the highest number and percentage of gun deaths. Go figure. Thank God for Greg Abbott, Louisiana's Jeff Landry, Florida's Ron DeSantis. One only need look at the FBI crime statistics to see with your own eyes the total lack of success of gun laws in places like Chicago and Detroit and New York, which see gun murders in their inner cities every single night. Sure, the liberals can decry statements like "when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns," but the fact still remains. The Biden administration has been pushing for federal gun legislation to pass since before he became president. Biden was one of the architects of the original so-called assault weapons ban. Thank God it expired in the 2000s. He's been advocating for new federal assault weapons bans that would align with modern technological advancements. There is no such thing as an assault weapon, Mr. Biden. The same .223 bullet that is used in an AR-15 is also used in my hunting rifle. Republicans in Congress have, thank God, been against the sort of sweeping legislation regarding guns. Second Amendment absolutists in Congress have gone out of their way to stall any restrictive anti-Second Amendment gun control legislation. Democrats incorrectly claim that some gun control measures are popular with Americans at large. That would be a lie. They're not popular except within certain Democrat liberal progressive circles. The new rule that Biden wants in effect intends to close the so-called gun show loophole, which keeps me from selling my gun at a gun show. This article says, "It has allowed tens of thousands of guns to be sold every year by unlicensed dealers who do not perform background checks." Prior to the change in the law, the only people who are required to perform background checks on potential gun buyers are people who made selling guns a full-time job or career. In other words, a gun shop. Biden's new rule changes the definition of who a gun dealer is. Under his new restrictive regulations, anyone who sells a gun at all would be considered a dealer in their state of residence and would be required to register with the state and therefore perform all sorts of expensive, extensive, restrictive background checks on potential buyers. They are coming for your guns. One way or another, especially if Biden gets reelected, and if the Democrats retake the House and hold the Senate, they are coming for your guns, not the illegally purchased guns of the criminals.
Steve Z and the Truth Hurts Program.
Switching gears, follow the politics, I always say, and of course, as everyone always says, follow the money. In this case, it's follow the union politics and the union money. In the publication State of the Union, Evelyn Thomas writes a very biased story, trying to shield gropey Joe Biden the pedophile from the obvious ass-whooping he would receive in the battleground state of Michigan. Why? Electric vehicle mandates are killing Biden's chances in the Rust Belt. Unions don't want electric cars any more than the other 95% of American citizens. So here's how the story was written. And to try and fool the dumber half of America's population, Evelyn Thomas says, the Biden administration is considering scaling back requirements for electric vehicle production in the U.S. Why? Challenges in supply chains, consumer demand, and lack of infrastructure. The adjustment comes amidst concerns about the feasibility of the initial ambitious goals and the need to balance environmental objectives with economic realities, particularly in an election year where Biden desperately needs union support. All right, I'm going to stop the article for a moment and explain. Biden is losing union support left, right, and sideways, especially in the manufacturing of automobiles. Those union leaders might claim to support Biden, but the rank-and-file, everyday, hard-working car manufacturing employees don't support Joe Biden. And so, he mandated all of these wacky laws that 2035 comes around, everyone's going to be driving an electric car, and that will put union automotive workers out of jobs. And when that reality hit Joe Biden and his campaign team in the face, they said, oh crap, we better scale back this legislation, at least until after Biden gets reelected. John Bozzella is the CEO of Alliance for Automotive Innovation. He says, give the market and supply chains a chance to catch up, maintain a customer's ability to choose, let more public charging stations come online, let industrial credits and the Inflation Reduction Act do their thing, and that will impact the industrial shift. That is a union spokesman. The proposed changes that Biden is now being forced to accept will allow for a gradual transition and put the brakes on this legislation until after the re-election of Joe Biden, whether legally or, like last time, unlawfully. The shift is seen as a pragmatic move to address practical constraints as well as political considerations in battleground states like Michigan. The proposed change by Joe Biden's administration is done for one reason and one reason only. He wants to try and keep union support. The bottom line is this. Biden knows that his electric vehicle mandates will kill him at the voting booth, especially in Michigan. So he's pumping the brakes for now. If this clown gets reelected, you can bet he will reinstate them with a vengeance. But as a lame duck president, he can bark executive orders that must be followed to the letter unless the Supreme Court rules otherwise. And with the backing of that high court, it might take his entire next 4 years to rule those executive orders unconstitutional. So we the people would be stuck with following those orders, for better or for worse, till God knows when. You're listening to the Truth Hurts program. On the next edition of the Truth Hurts program, we've got a lot to talk about, especially Mike Pence landing a new gig after his failed presidential bid, the ban of gas-powered vehicles in multiple states and in another country, HOA committees requiring insurance for EV owners, and the Atlantic Ocean being on the brink of collapse, as well as maybe another new ice age threat. We'll talk about California's restrictive minimum wage laws and how it is affecting everyone in the state in a negative way, a call for the end of special counsels, presidential tyranny voted for, look who's calling math racist, and we can't help but talk about Biden's delay on why he has refused to go nuclear at the border. These and many other topics on the next edition of the Truth Hurts program. I sure hope you tune in. But for now, we're out of time, so we'll see you on the next episode of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Make it a great Tuesday. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Truth Hurts program. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We apologize if you are offended, but we retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautix. Copyright 2024, the Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved.